Pharisee, I preach the gospel. I follow the apostles, you follow Pentecostals. You're not reformed, so that's a risk. I believe the 5 points like an asterisk. I repent, but you're in sin still. I spit rhymes and Fernando does a windmill. Yo soy mejor,
and here we go. Welcome to another episode of SolarCast. It's your boy, Pastor Chris Hernandez, and I'm with my man,
Jimmy De Los Santos.
What's going on, Jimmy?
How you doing, Pastor Chris?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Just had a weird place record this time, right?
Yeah, we're back at it, but it's strange because I'm at my job, you're at your job.
Yeah.
The only time we could find to do this is a piece of the afternoon that is after work. It's after 5. So I just grabbed a room that was a conference room that was empty here. You grabbed an empty conference room at your job, and we're doing it over Zoom.
Right.
We've been doing it. But it didn't look like we were going to be able to make 8 o'clock Monday night. So let's just do it here while we're at work, and I'll stay a little late tonight. You know what I noticed on the Calvinism episode that we put out last week, the replay, is that I'm glad we got new mics, man.
Yeah, man. Every time we play these replays, man, I think the same thing. I'm like, man, we've come a long way.
Yeah. I'm hoping people see that, we're trying to make this a more quality kind of thing. And so, well, even if they don't see it, I hope they see the content as being good too. So I think the Calvinism episode had some good content. It's just that we sure could have used better mics at that point. Makes me almost want to revisit the whole Calvinism thing and record it on better mics.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking the same thing. Also, just touching on some questions that people have when it comes to the issue of Calvinism. So, yeah, I think it'd be good to revisit that.
Yeah.
But anyway, man, let's get right into the topic of the day. I know usually we like to banter back and forth and, kind of talk about some things. But, today's episode's going to be a little different. As I mentioned last week when we dropped the Calvinism replay, I mentioned what we're going to be talking about this week. And this was actually brought about. I received a text from one of the brothers from the church, and he actually threw it out there and said, you guys should do an episode on the Christian and suicide. And I kind of was already thinking that, just for the simple fact that, we've had some things come up recently in the evangelical world where that's been in the news and the headlines. And then when the brother texted me, I was like, yeah, I texted you and I said, hey, let's do this. And you were like, yeah, let's talk about it, man. It's a timely thing to talk about for maybe many of our listeners. Maybe some of them don't know. There is a recent event that happened in the evangelical world with a pastor by the name of Jared Wilson. Now, it is not Jared C. Wilson, right? So there's two popular preachers out there. One is Jared C. Wilson, who actually blocked me on Twitter. And the other and the other one was Jared Wilson, spelled a little different, J-A-R-R-I-D, Jared Wilson. He was, I believe, a pastor for one of Greg Laurie's church.
Right. An associate pastor, yeah.
He was an associate pastor for Greg Laurie's church, with Greg Laurie's known for the Harvest America Crusade. So he was a pastor on staff there at the church. And he actually dealt with a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, a lot of mental health issues himself in his personal life. And he was actually trying to be an advocate for that, trying to show people and lead people that there is a way out. But sadly, I believe this happened 2 weeks ago. He gave in to his struggles and he took his own life. So it was a big shock to a lot of people. The guy had a big following on Twitter. He was a very well-known preacher. To be honest with you, he wasn't a guy that I listened to a lot. Again, we kind of got our tight circles that we listen to in the Reform world. So he wasn't a Reform guy, but he was very popular, man. So I think it's time to kind of discuss that, because I think a lot of listeners, are either shocked or surprised, or maybe even, sad to say, maybe even dealing with some of these issues themselves.
It doesn't even have to be in the evangelical world. You can look across the landscape of just America, the world. When there's high-profile people that take their own lives, you think about, like, Anthony Bourdain. Anthony Bourdain was this guy that traveled the world cooking and eating with famous people all over the world. Look at him and you think, man, this guy's got a good life. Right. And then he ends up killing himself. And you couldn't sit there and understand, why would a guy like that do something like this? And so that's, you know, out there in the world, you see somebody that's got money, that's got a life, they're traveling the world, they're having this and they're having that, and they end up killing themselves and committing suicide. You look at that situation in the evangelical world, it's even more puzzling because we have Christ.
Right.
And so I, you know, there's a tweet that I saw about this, about Jared Wilson, and she puts this, Jillian Marie, at Marie Jillian 94, says this: "I'm really upset. Can I just be honest? This will not sit well with many people, and that's okay. Hashtag Jared Wilson." And she put a post out here about Jared's actions setting an extremely dangerous precedent for the church. Hopefully most Christians are looking to Christ and not to man. There's a whole post here about that, and it made me think, you know, how many people are affected by something like this, because if they can't make it, who can?
Right.
And that's, I guess that's one of the things you think about. As we touch this subject, I want to touch it with sensitivity, because if Anthony Bourdain, with a life like his, takes his own life, you know, as high profile as his life was, where's the hope? Right.
Right.
And I'm not one to know, because it had to be something mental. It had to be something in his physiology, had to be something going on that maybe we didn't see. You know, we've had a lot of that, you know, out through the world. I mean, when Robin Williams took his own life, I was floored by that, because here was an actor that I thought was a really good actor. I enjoyed his career up to that point. And him taking his own life was puzzling to me.
Right.
But and in all that, we can discuss, you know, and be sensitive about people going through mental issues.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point on wanting to kind of touch this issue with a great deal of sensitivity. Yeah. Because, you know, we want to say up front that neither me or you are mental health experts or anything like that, right? We are preachers of the Word of God. We're handlers of the Word of God. So we're going to attack this issue from what the Word of God says. We're going to attack it from a caring for the soul, as one who cares for the soul. But there's just a lot that we don't know. It's like any other sickness. I mean, I'm not a medical doctor, so I don't know exactly, you know, write prescriptions here and there when someone calls me to over their house to pray for them. But what I can do as a pastor is I can pray for them and I can give them godly counsel. You know, so it's the same issue here. So, and that's what we kind of want to state that up front. I have a couple of statistics here, you know, just to show the listeners, you know, just the epidemic of suicide here. These are some statistics from as recently as 2 years ago, 2017, where suicide was the 10th leading cause of death overall in the United States, claiming over 47,000 lives. I mean, wow. Just think about that. That's a tremendous amount of lives there that it's taken. And here's what gets me, is that it was the second leading cause of death among individuals between 10 and 34. So this is an issue for young people. Yeah. And I mean, and we don't even have to go to statistics to know that. I mean, if we look at the news, oftentimes local news will often hear about a young person taking their life, or this person that was just had so much future, or a bright future, or everything ahead of them, just taking their life at a young age. So we know that it's an epidemic among young people, but not only young people, as we see here, is the 10th leading death overall in the United States. So it's a big epidemic. You know, a lot of people deal with it. It's something that I don't think we talk about enough in the church, which I think with some recent things that have been going on, I think is something that we should be talking about more.
Yeah, it's kind of strange to think about, but just in the recent, I don't know, last 50 years, the culture of death in this country, around the world, has changed. There are laws being passed in different countries that will allow you know, doctors to help people commit suicide. When they get to a place where I just can't go on anymore, doctors are actually legally able to end a person's life just because they can't make it anymore.
Right.
And we've seen that, you know, those laws passed. And I think, you know, it's dangerous. It's a dangerous thing to think, well, you know, it's okay for us. It used to be a whole taboo thing that, you know, you wouldn't take your own life, but that seems to be more prevalent. And I can't help but think of the verse in the Bible that says that he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he will devour, right?
Right.
And his job is to kill, steal, and destroy, right? And kill being that first one, and killing comes in many ways, right? And so, you know, I thought about I thought about how people would react maybe to the fact that we're talking about this. And I wanted to make sure that people understood, you know, what we're talking about when we talk about suicide. And like we always do, we give a definition of what it is. I went looking for definitions so that I could really kind of speak to it and try to understand it a little bit more. And I think I do have an understanding of it. I'll give a reason why a little bit later. But the most basic definition of suicide that I found is when one intends to die or when one acts on the desire to die. A person pursues a course of action to for the express purpose of ending his own life. And it's just simply the intentional taking of one's own life. And I did some reading on it. I thought it was interesting that it doesn't even have to be at your own hand, but I read one instance where the wrong medicine was prescribed, but then the solution, well, they had something that they could have given them to stop the medicine from taking its course and ending the person's life, but the person refused. It wasn't by her own hand. She was given medicine by mistake, but when she found out the effect of it, she said, no, I don't want to take the antidote. Let's just let it go. Right. And so this is an action. It seemed like she's not even the person that's taking the action. It was a mistake, but then she decides to not take any course to save her own life.
Right.
And so suicide comes in many forms.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what you say there about how the culture of death is something that we're kind of facing here. It's kind of been an epidemic. And I think what that brings is, you know, people, I mean, let's face it, people have been dealing with the same issue. As Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. People have been dealing with whether it be mental health issues or depression or anxiety or things that make them want to find a way out to life's difficult problems or to the burdens that we face. And I think, just that culture of death, as you mentioned, just kind of gives people an easier way out than it used to. And again, I'm not saying that suicide is something new, but according to the statistics that I read, I mean, I don't think that we've seen it in this form. We've ever seen it in this form in history. I think it's something that is just, it's been brought to the surface. And now again, the reason why we're touching on it is because it's seeping into the church, you know, so it's right. Something, definitely something that we have to address. So Jimmy, why is this, this issue a little personal for you?
Well, I came to Christ because of it. I had gotten to a place, I know, this is one of the things I always want to say to people, because I'm such a believer in Jesus Christ and what he can do to supernaturally change hearts and change desires. But I don't believe someone has to hit rock bottom to come to know Christ. I know I always hear people saying that, well, when he hits rock bottom, you know, but I did. I think you would call it rock bottom. Back when I came to Christ in 2001, I was at a place in my life where I felt like, I had done the wrong thing. I had done so many of the wrong things. And I was broke. And I was thinking to myself, you know, how can you ask, your mother? Here you are, 32 years old. How can you ask your mother for gas to get to work, right? Felt pretty worthless, right? Felt pretty like, you know, pretty much I had done this to myself. And so the thoughts came, it would be easier if you were dead, you know? It would be easier. And you know, even the thoughts, all the tools were right there. The enemy was showing me, there's a garden hose. Here's your car. Turn on the exhaust, stick one side here, stick one side there. And, you know, it could be over soon. You could go to sleep and it'd be done. But those thoughts, right? I'm so glad that God intervened and my sister showed up out of nowhere because those thoughts were the last thing that the enemy was able to give to me that I was contemplating before I came to know Christ. So in that, I confessed to my mom some different things, and then we prayed. I came to know Christ. I believe that those suicidal thoughts, in my instance, and I can't say for everybody, are something God used to bring me to the foot of the cross.
Right.
And so what, just like Joseph said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. What the enemy meant for evil in my life, where he was trying to kill me, right, brought me to the foot of the cross.
Right.
Had I not been able to see and hear you know, all the scripture that I was taught when I was a kid, these things come back. Holy Spirit will use to open your eyes to the fact. And so, yeah, that's why it's kind of a personal thing for me, because I do believe that God can use it, but it is a tragic thing when someone doesn't see the tricks of the enemy. I'm so glad God opened my eyes to those things, that the Holy Spirit worked in my heart to show me that's not the road you want to go down, right? If we want to give glory to God, well, do it through your life, right?
Right.
And so I guess that's where I'll stop talking about that, because I want to be sensitive to those that are struggling with mental anguish and distress, right, over their lives. And I want to be an encouragement to them that God can make something out of just that rock bottom piece of dirt, right? Like that was right. me. Like that was me. That was a rock bottom piece of dirt that come to know Christ, and Christ has changed. It's been almost 19 years that I've been a Christian, and I can attest to the fact he changes hearts and he changes situations and scenarios. I'm not the man that I was that day. I'm a completely different person today. And so I'm very thankful that, you know, he took me to the brink and brought me back.
Yeah. Praise God for that, man. And, you know, that just, you know, who knows who's listening out there that hears that. And, you know, when we give testimonies, I think testimonies are a powerful thing. You know, it gives encouragement to others and lets others know that there is a way, you know, it is possible for you to, you know, to recover or to get restored or to get delivered from such a deep and dark place, you know. And I just think this touches on, you know, when we talk about the gospel, the whole gospel, the broad scope of the gospel, just to bring a scripture here in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, we read, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted." That verse is talking about Christ. That verse points us to the gospel. This is what Christ did. He has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. And I think when we look at the issue of suicide, it's usually brought upon by griefs and sorrows, by an overwhelming griefs and sorrows. And again, we don't have to act like this is anything new. This was something that has been going on since the beginning of time. We see in the Bible there are a few individuals that committed suicide. I think one of the first ones that we read about is Ahithophel, which was an advisor to King David, who felt King David betrayed him. He was so full of grief because he thought the king betrayed him that he took his own life. Probably the most famous example of suicide in the Bible was Judas Iscariot, who after he betrayed Christ, he went and hung himself, right? So we see that this is something that has been going on throughout history. And again, it is driven, oftentimes it is driven by a grief and sorrow. And then we read here in Isaiah chapter 53 that this is what Christ came to do, to carry those griefs, to carry those sorrows, to, as he says in the New Testament, to come to him, those who are burdened and heavy laden, and find rest in him. So this is what the gospel is. And I say, when I said talk about the whole scope of the gospel, what I mean is that, yes, this is the beginning. This is the entrance to come and to find hope in Jesus Christ, to give him your griefs and your sorrows. But you know what he also provides? He also provides brothers and sisters in the faith. He also left behind the Holy Spirit. He left the church, right, to be there and to carry each other's burden, as the New Testament talks about, right? So this is what we are to do. We are to bear our brothers and sisters' burdens, because there's so many people out there that we don't know that are bearing these griefs and sorrows. And we want to let them know, yes, Christ took them on. Christ took them on at the cross. He died for that sin. He resurrected so you can have new hope and new life. But also he left, you know what else he left you? He left you with the Holy Spirit. And he also left you with brothers and sisters like myself to come alongside with you, to pray with you, to weep with those that weep, to mourn with those that mourn, to rejoice with those that rejoice, and to love on you, and to let you know that you don't have to go at it alone. So look, if anybody's out there listening to this podcast and they have these thoughts, this is my advice to you. Find hope in Jesus Christ. Know that he has borne those griefs and carried the sorrows for all those who believe on his name. And the second piece of that is to find a local church, a local body of brothers and sisters who will watch over you and care for your soul.
Yeah, so good, Pastor Chris. That's how they'll know who you are as Christians, that you lay down your lives for one another. They'll know you by the love that you have one for another. And right. So it's important for us to keep that in mind. And one of the things that as Christians, you know, because the thing we're talking about is something that having to do with a Christian pastor who took his own life, and wasn't it something he took it on National Suicide Prevention Day?
Right.
When I heard that, I was like floored even more, but how much must have been on his mind, on his back, thinking about these things. You know, like you said, we need to put the gospel in front of ourselves at all times. One of the thoughts that hit me is that my encouragement to anyone that's going through these things is to look at the cross. Keep your eyes focused on the cross. So look at what Jesus did at the cross. Yes. I believe that one of the best things we can do when we're going through struggles is we need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. We need to remind ourselves that Jesus is enough. So we tend to see our things from the perspective of what our lives look like. And I remember a young man telling me, you know, over dinner, he asked me to go to dinner and he needed some encouragement. He needed some, and he told me that he had a hard time believing that God loved him because of the situation that he was in or the things that he was going through. And my encouragement to him was, stop looking at what it looks like around you. Stop looking at your situation, but look at the cross. Do you want to know how much God loves you? Look at the cross.
Yes. Right?
When you look at the cross, you can see Christ. You know, when it says in Romans 5:8, and he demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right. But you know that we look at that is for the Christian, right? That is for the one who has given his life over to Christ. And we go through things too. It's not like we don't, you know, as Christians, we go through our ups, we go through our downs, we go through our depressions, we go through loneliness and all kinds of different types of things that, you know, you might think would hinder us, but the prescription is the cross, to always remember what he did for us on the cross. Remember that he loved us and he never forsakes us. And, you know, it's funny because even Jared Wilson, he would put out tweets. And so, you know, just a few days before taking his own life, he put out this tweet. He says, loving Jesus doesn't always cure suicidal thoughts. Loving Jesus doesn't always cure depression. Loving Jesus doesn't always cure PTSD. Loving Jesus doesn't always cure anxiety. But that doesn't mean Jesus doesn't offer us companionship and comfort. He always does that. And I, you know, I think I look at that and I think, that's one thing that the Lord has always told us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, read the Old Testament. You'll see a lot of that. I'm with you always. You know, Joshua 1:9, see, have not I commanded you? I know it better in Spanish, but it's funny how I know right. that one in Spanish off the top of my head where he says, no matter what you go through, I will always be with you. Mm-hmm. And I think we forget sometimes those types of things, but that kind of you know sums up how I feel about how we can get past this and what encouragement I would give to someone. The thought I had when we were discussing doing this episode wasn't, you know, which verses in the Bible. You touched on something about how many times the Bible, you know, you talked about Ahithophel. Well, there was others, you know, there was a Samson. So some people, right. you know, argue may not have been a suicide, but then Saul and his armor bearer, you know, we look at the Bible and we know that there's only a handful of incidents in the Bible that talk about suicide. And, you know, in those, I think it's six times that the Bible talks about suicide, and it doesn't cast a judgment on whether it's moral or immoral. Right.
Right.
And then there's always that question that people come up with, is it a sin you can't come back from?
Right.
And I, you know, I have my reservations in answering that question. I'm not exactly sure what to say when someone asks me that question.
Right.
And so I'm throwing it at you, Pastor Chris. I mean, what would you say to something like that?
Yeah. First of all, you know, the second part of the whole thing after, you know, finding your relief and your hope and finding your rest in Christ for these sorrows and burdens. That's one thing. But another thing to that is that if you're even contemplating this, know that this is something that is not in your hands. You didn't give yourself life. That was given to you by God. So you have no right to take your own life. None of us have a right to take our own life. I think a lot of times we think, especially in the culture that we live in, you know, my body, my decision and so forth. So no, we are image bearers. You know, we were created in the image of God, and we have no right to take our own life. That is something that is determined by God. He knows our days are numbered. He knows how many days we have to live on this earth. And, you know, he is the one that has the right to do that. And we don't have that right. So if you're contemplating suicide, just think, you know what, what's the big deal? If I take my own life, it's mine to take and it's mine to keep. No, it's not. That decision belongs to the Lord. He is the giver of life. He is the taker of life. Right. So I think that's the first thing that we got to understand. As you mentioned, you know, is it a sin that you can't come back from? I'm tempted to say no. It's not the unpardonable sin, as some people like to think it is. I don't think so. I don't. And again, I'm just going off of how we are justified. What Scripture says, you know, we are justified by faith. We're not justified by not sinning. He doesn't make us right. He doesn't grant us salvation based off of, you know, not sinning. Our salvation is a free gift. It is given to us by God. It is a free gift in Jesus Christ. We are justified by his grace through the redemption, which is in Christ Jesus, Romans 3:24. So if we're going to say that suicide is the sin that you can't come back from, because I think I used to hear when I was younger, oh, because you don't get a chance to ask for forgiveness. And there's a lot of people that are going to be going to hell because they didn't get to ask for forgiveness before they pass, you know. Right. We are not justified by, you know, the law, by what we do and what we don't do. We're justified by Christ's atoning work. So, I don't think so. But at the same time, I want to be very cautious on that, because suicide, unlike any other sin, you're brought to that point through going through some deep desperation, deep oppression, deep depression, deep trusting in yourself and not on God to get you out. So I do think that we have to be careful there, because if you're at that brink and if you're at that point to where you're willing to take your own life, then there does have to be some question on whether or not you are fully trusting on Jesus Christ for salvation.
Yep. I totally get that. See, that's one of those things that when I hear people ask the question, I want to caveat it by saying, I'm not the judge, right? Like,
right.
If that person was in Christ, then he's in Christ.
Right.
And so I can't say this or that about his taking his own life. I used to have a really, really hard time with answering the question, because I would say, well, if you're in Christ, you have all the joy, right? Why would you want to take your own life? I tended at one point, and I changed my mind on this over time, but I tended to believe that a person that was in Christ was so joyful, there would be no suicide. That why would they commit suicide? I tended to believe that only people that were outside of Christ would commit suicide. But I changed my mind along the way, because I believe that someone can come to know Christ. And I know that, you know, a lot of people that are listening know that I had struggles with drugs early on. But I do believe that I was in Christ still struggling with the drugs. Right. Yeah. And this is one thing that took some time for the Lord to take away from me. And so with that being the case, I might see the same situation in a person with depression, right? That there's a struggle that's to be had there. I praise God that he brought me to a place where I could finally see the destruction that drugs brings. And I pray that anyone that is struggling with depression and thinking about suicide would wrestle against that. And you know, always be led by the Holy Spirit to be led into a place that they could have peace over something like that. I don't desire the drugs anymore. You know, there's no desire in me for those things like that anymore. And I believe that God has removed that, but it didn't happen instantaneously. And so, comparing that to the life that, again, depression wasn't always my struggle. It wasn't something that I thought of constantly. You know, I didn't think about killing myself throughout my teens and this, that, and the other. I contemplated it at the point that God brought me to the cross. And that pretty much was the only time, aside from maybe being a kid about things and wanting to, I'll show them or something like that, you know. You know, and I think we've all had those thoughts, but that wasn't real, you know. So I would sit here and say that with my thinking about how God brought me out of the drugs, and it took some time, it took some sanctification, the same might be true for someone that struggles with depression and suicidal thoughts.
Right.
And so it made me think that I should maybe curb that kind of talk, because it is judgmental. And it is something that, you know, who am I to say? What I would want to say is this. And if you're struggling with that, you know, like Pastor Chris said, find the local church, reach out. I mean, I even got a National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number that I want to give out, right? Like on this podcast, I'm going to give this number out, 1-800-273-8255. It's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline that I would implore you to call, right? And if you, you know, if you, you know, while we always give our tweets out at the, our Twitter handles out at the end of the show, you know, and like I said, I mean, Pastor Chris said, we're not, you know, counselors, psychologists like, to that level. But I tell you what, if you wanted to talk, I'd talk to you about this.
Right.
I'd you know, I'd be willing to talk to you a little bit about my struggle. And if that helps at all, right, I would want to direct you to, you know, a counselor that has is proficient in this kind of thing. But at the same time, I'm not one that's willing to turn away from someone that is, you know, calling out to Jimmy De Los Santos and saying, hey, can I talk to you about this? I wouldn't turn away. And I think any Christian would feel the same. Any Christian that had, you know, understanding of these things would say, yeah, let's talk. And this is how we show our love for one another, that I would lay down anything I had going so I could set some time and just listen. Right. So that's my thing. I don't know if that's, you know, if somebody's listening that hears the compassion in my voice over something like this, but I'm hoping that they do. I'm hoping that they hear me when I say, you know, that's not what we want, right? We don't want anyone taking their own lives, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I like what you said, how, you know, when you're asked that question, one of the first things you say is, I'm not the judge, you know, that. And that's so true. And, you know, I think people want to, especially when they're at the brink, they want to know, you know, is it okay if I take my own life? Because, you know, is this my ticket into heaven? And I would just say, even though, you know, everything I just said about us not being saved by works or because we sin or we don't sin, I would just say, you know, be very careful. That's very dangerous ground. That's playing with some of the hottest fire that you could play with. You know, I do believe that yes, as let me just read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespass against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that him we might become the righteousness of God. I believe every believer has been reconciled with God. Everyone who is truly born of God, everyone who is truly born of the Spirit, everyone who is elect have been reconciled with God, and they are his. And, you know, no one, as the scripture says, no one can pluck them out of his hands. Yeah. So, we do believe in eternal security. We've talked about that before. Yeah. So, you know, I don't believe that there is one particular sin that is just going to send you straight to hell, although scripture does talk about the unpardonable sin, but we'll have to get into that another time on what I believe that really is. But I don't believe it is suicide. But again, as I said, I want to caveat that, because I think that once you've gotten there, you're playing with fire. You're walking on dangerous ground, and it's not the easy way out. It's not the safe bet. I would say, you know, if you've come to that point, then you need to examine yourself, as scripture says. Examine yourself to see if you are truly in the faith. If you're desperately wanting to end your life, that is a time to examine yourself and to see if you are really and truly in the faith. But I think what you said there about us not being the judge is absolutely right.
I want to add to what you're saying now about that. So, like, you've examined yourself, you've seen yourself, you see yourself in the faith, and you're still depressed, and you're still having these thoughts. The only thing at this point that I can do is take you to scripture, right? So I'm going to give some scriptures today as encouragement to anybody that's listening that might say, "Yeah, I'm in Christ, but why do I keep thinking like this?" Well, I'm going to give you a little analogy first about what this was something my stepfather, my mentor, told me a long time ago. He said, what happens to a glass of tea when you put it under running water? Eventually, all the tea comes out and you have a glass of clear water. Our minds are diluted with what the world wants us to think is true happiness. But the Bible teaches us something different. So scripture teaches us something different. And at that, here's my encouragement. I'm going to give a few verses. I'm going to read them out. And I'm hoping if you're thinking like this, you take this to heart. Here's Isaiah 41 verses 9 through 10 that says, "You whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." John 16:33, he says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Let's read verse 3 also. "For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence." I'll tell you, if you're listening to me, read the whole Psalm, Psalm 91. It's such a good Psalm. Romans 8, 38, 39, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And the last thing I want to give you is from Isaiah 43, when he says, "But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." I reiterate what Pastor Chris says. He gave us life. We don't have the right to take that away. But this is encouragement. How much more can you have if you remember that you've been redeemed by our Savior and you belong to him? What he will give his children, right? And so at that, I want to end. There's so much more in the Bible that I could give you about encouragement. I would say dig into the Word. Pour the Word into your mind and get all that diluted stuff out. That's, you know, I don't want to sit here and just say that's my prescription. This is what you do. If you need a counselor, reach out. Call the number we talked about earlier. There's so much more to this, and I want to be sensitive to that fact. I don't have all the answers, but I do have a Bible, right? And right. That'd be my thing.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's a good place to kind of end it. I just want to add one more verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." So if you're out there and, you know, this is something that you're struggling with, and a lot of times you may feel that no one cares about you. Nobody cares what you're going through. No one knows your situation. No one understands. Well, scripture tells us that God does care. He does understand. And he is someone that you can cast all your cares and your worries upon, because he does care for you and he loves you. He wants to see you through this. And again, as I mentioned earlier, he makes means for that to happen. And one of those means is people, is brothers and sisters in the faith, is doctors, if that's the case, medical physicians and so forth. So I just want to encourage you, if you're out there and you've been dealing with this issue, reach out. As Jimmy said, reach out to someone. Let someone bear this burden with you. You're not going to be able to bear it alone. God doesn't intend you to bear it alone. He right. wants others to bear it with you, whether that be church family, your brothers and sisters that love and care for you, or if that's physicians and professionals that can come in. I mean, all this is how he works through and through in our healing, right? He provides us with medicine. He provides us with doctors. If that's the case, and if you need that is available as well. And I just encourage people just to reach out. That's the first step. Reach out. Don't carry this burden alone. Tell somebody, not tomorrow, tell somebody today. You know, don't wait. Don't wait on that. This is something that is too urgent to be putting off and thinking that you can handle it and take care of it on your own. No. Talk to somebody. Pick up that phone. Dial somebody, whoever you can, the number that Jimmy gave out, or if it's anybody that you can trust, or anybody that you feel would have an open ear, just call them, give them a chance, because there are people out there that love you, they care for you. Most importantly, God does, as a scripture we just read.
Yeah, let me throw that number out there one more time, and then we'll sign off. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I guess we'll go ahead and end it there, man. I think this is kind of a somber episode. We wanted to kind of briefly touch on that. There's, again, more that we could have said. I think maybe we might need to, you know, spend the whole topic just on depression alone, because that's a big issue. But yeah, so if you are looking for some questions, or you want to talk, or you want to send us a, shoot us a message, make sure you follow the Facebook, or search for us on Facebook. You can go there to the search toolbar and search SolaCast. There you'll find the page. Go ahead and like the page, send us a message. Or if you want to go to the website, you can go to www.thesolacast.com, or you can find us on Twitter, and you're at
Los Jimmy,
and I'm at C Hernandez 214. We also got the SolaCast Twitter at @Sola_cast. Also, if you're in the Dallas area, make sure you check us out every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We are out there at 3232 Batan Street in lovely West Dallas, getting into that fall season, man. Got a lot of stuff to do, right?
Yeah, it's getting nicer out there.
Getting nicer, right? So we're going to be, you know, hitting the streets and doing things, and, you know, look for us in Dallas. You know, come join us. Come join the mission, right? Yeah. So until next time.
Let's get to the meat.
Let's do it.
Okay. I just made this beat right now. I'm MC Goya. Okay, listen. Hey, I'm on the ground like El Chapo, in a tunnel, eating about 12 tacos. I'll put you in a box like a gato. Punchlines stay in my mouth like Mr. Sacco. Jay thinks he runs Christian hip-hop. He wears white socks when he wears his flip-flops. And he looks like Shook Knight. I put him in a chokehold and say goodnight. It's not music, but clothes that he started. I can find better shirts in a flea market. Okay, Google, who's the best rapper? Goya, rapping grace is full of slackers.